you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 6.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 6.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, November 22nd, 2024. 6 days until Thanksgiving, everyone. Hopefully you're ready. You've been out shopping. Maybe purchased that turkey. Those of you that wait till the very end, remember, take it out a day or so early so it's not frozen when you're trying to cook it. But you have 6 days to have that all planned out, and maybe you're going to have some friends over or travel and meet with family. But this is a season to give thanks. Thanks to the Lord for what he's done, how he's provided this very day for us. And today we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, as there's a lot of thanks to be given because God is a good God and he deserves our praise.
I was thinking the other day around this topic of Thanksgiving when my son played soccer, and he played soccer for a number of years, probably 4 or 5 years. And what was interesting about his soccer team is that all the kids showed up for all the practices, and they showed up for all the games, and they tried their best most of the time. Sometimes it was kind of like herding squirrels. Mm-hmm. They didn't win every game. In fact, I don't even think they won many games at all. And actually, when I really think about it, I'm not sure anybody ever kept score. But at the end, when we got to the end of the season, all the kids were given trophies. They were given all these little trophies. And I don't know how you guys all feel about participation awards, but they gave each person an award, the same award, for all of them participating in the season. Now, why do I talk about that when I talk about Thanksgiving? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. Paul here is writing to the Philippian church. And some have suggested that this is a thank you note to the Philippian church for their financial contribution to Paul in prison. But I think the whole of the letter is summed up in those first 6 verses that Tad read. That grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership, your participation, in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, Paul begins this letter at Philippi and to us. These letters are to us too because we get to read them. He begins and says, grace and peace. Does anybody know what grace means?
Unmerited favor?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's God's unmerited favor, his unmerited loving kindness towards us. What's interesting, I think, is that a lot of people don't like grace unless they're the one that is getting the grace. They don't like to offer grace because some people think that grace is weakness. And what I love about God is willing to look that way to us, right? It says in Romans 5, 6, and 8, for while we were still weak and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, no one would dare even die. But God shows his love, his unmerited loving kindness and favor towards us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still the worst of the worst, that Christ came and Christ died for us. The title of Romans chapter 5 in most of your Bibles is Peace with God through Faith. That's interesting to me because Paul says grace, and then what does he say? And
peace.
Grace and peace. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some days where I could just use a little peace. Anybody with me?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. And I think it's prevalent not just for us in this room, but all over the world. I mean, people sing songs about peace. They travel on pilgrimages to find it. They even wage war to protect it. Many wealthy and famous and powerful people would trade everything just for a moment of peace. And all the parents said amen. I mean, you're just like, can we get just a little peace?
Well, I like peace too. A piece of cake, a piece of this, a piece of candy.
Now, the peace, though, that Paul is saying here is not a piece of cake. He's saying peace in the midst of turmoil. The word that's used here actually means, in the Greek, peace in the middle of the turmoil. Peace in the middle of the process. Peace in the middle of the chaos. Now, while I think that Paul is writing to a Greek audience, I actually think Paul is using the Jewish word here, because Paul was a Jewish rabbi. And so Paul is using the word shalom. Everybody say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Does anybody know what shalom means?
It means peace, hello, love.
What else does it mean? Anybody else?
I mean farewell, too. You can use it both ways.
Yep. Yeah. Shalom means peace in your coming and peace in your going, peace in where you are and where you will be. So shalom means the peace which only comes from God, which is present with you in all things and everywhere that you go. So Paul's greeting to these people is the loving kindness of God that is for you and the peace of God that goes everywhere with you. When Paul says grace and peace, it doesn't just sound good. There's a deep meaning and reason why he says that when he says that to them. In fact, it was Jesus who says in John 14:27, peace I leave you with, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. That's one of the things I think Paul's saying to them when he says this word shalom to them. He's saying, Jesus has given you a peace that is in your coming and in your going and in what you're going through right now. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God.
And I'm thinking, Jason, even these are words for us in the midst of turmoil, presidential elections, you know, rumors of wars, things that are happening, heartache, everything that if you look around would be unsettling. And we're told to be at peace.
Well, it is interesting that Paul uses a word that means that you're going, that you should have peace in the middle of conflict, in the middle of turmoil, in the middle of all those things. Why? Because God doesn't come and take you out of those situations. God meets you in them. That's the Lord's Prayer that we prayed even before this program, that God would give us daily bread in the midst of the things we're going through. And so God doesn't just lift us out of our circumstances. God meets us in our circumstances and ministers to us and is with us in the midst of all those things. And I think that's important because most people pray to God in the midst of difficult things like, just get me out of this, God. And God's invitation, I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, it sure seems like God's invitation most of the time is, I'm not going to get you out of it, but I'm going to meet you in it. And I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to remind you of that I'm with you. And so this is how Paul opens his letter to the Philippian church. And then he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. I wonder how many times you thank God for all your friends. You thank God for the people around you. Are you more likely to ask God to fix them? Ask God to correct them? Ask God to help them because they're a little irritating sometimes? Or do you thank God for the people who are around you?
I've used this in many of the thank you letters where I'll sign it, thanking them obviously for their donation, but I thank God every time I think about you because they're tangibly helping the ministry. And mm-hmm. So this is kind of a passage I know a lot of radio stations will use or have announcements about.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy to be thankful for people when they're doing something you want them to do or have done something for you. But Paul says here, and I'm a big word guy, so I always circle the words. I circle the word every time. Because every time means what?
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. It means every time you help me, every time you've been there for me, every time you've frustrated me, every time you've irritated me. Every time means every time, which means all times. Paul says that every time he remembers them, he prays for them, and he prays for them with joy. I think that God's design for friendship for us and following Jesus together is that we should be thankful for the people who are around us and be thankful that they're different than us. Be thankful that sometimes they're frustrating because that means that my patience needs a little work, right? I mean, just to be thankful. And I love that Paul's relationships with others and his thankfulness for them leads him back to his greatest relationship, doesn't it? To God. The relationships that he's thankful around him, where does he take that to? He takes it to God.
Yes.
So it deepens his relationship with God because he's going to God to thank God for these relationships, to thank God for the ways that he's put these people in his life. See, Paul didn't have a religious, professional, or passing relationship with God. He had a personal relationship with God. And he would go to God, talk with God about everything, including his friends. And what I loved about Paul's personal relationship with God is that he's more than happy to live it out publicly. That's what he's doing here. He wrote all about it, didn't he? Gave it to all of us. It's in the best-selling book ever. Paul was thankful too. He writes in Philippian letter here, "My God, who had worked such loving kindness, grace through his life, and was working that out in the lives of the Philippians." And even though Paul was in prison, he's in prison during the time this letter is being written, he's under guard and he's impressed, he still experienced shalom. He still experienced the peace of God. And so he tells us, I thank my God for you guys all the time. And then he says this, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." So he's saying that the substance of a lot of his prayers are his friends, are the people that he's met along the way. I mean, how many of us have done that? How many of us have been in the grocery store and we thank God for the person behind us in the line, or the person that we met in the produce section, or the person who was behind the meat counter, the lady in the bakery? All those people that we met along the way, who are all crafted and made in the image of God. I mean, just think when you go to some place like the grocery store or the post office, the number of people you see, the number of opportunities you have to give thanks. I mean, the day after Thanksgiving, we have this thing called Black Friday, right, where everybody rushes out so they can buy all the stuff. Well, if everybody rushes out to buy all the stuff, then we have a lot in those situations of opportunities to give thanks, don't we? Now, not thankful I got that $10 toaster and trampled my neighbor, but thankful that God made all these great people, all these wonderfully diverse and interesting people.
I thought you were going to go with, because so many people are rushing out and frustrated and angry and upset and pushy, it's a great time for you to be the opposite, to have the fragrance of Christ or to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, you do have that opportunity. I just think you can give thanks. And I think that sometimes when you get in those situations, if it's hard to give thanks, that's a good barometer for where you are with God. It's a good barometer for where your heart is. Is your heart critical? Is your heart frustrated? Or is your heart willing to give thanks, even for people who are different than you? And I love that Paul takes us to God and he prays to God about it. Because he's praying on the go. He's praying on the move. He's praying from prison. You know, a lot of people think if they aren't in a certain place, they aren't really praying, or if they don't have incense burning, they're not really praying, or if they don't have a certain book, they're not really praying. They aren't saying certain kind of words, they're not really praying. If they don't have a prayer closet, they aren't really praying. You know, a number of years ago, I was a part of a church, and we had a Wednesday night prayer group. And this prayer group was amazing. I mean, this prayer group had like the prayer warriors in it. I mean, I've never heard people pray like this before in my whole entire life. I think they probably helped Jesus craft his own prayers. Because they were so, I mean, they had the hedge of protection, they had the throne of glory, they had all the prayers. And everybody who prayed, it was beautiful. And then there was one guy. And he wore like old ratty blue jeans and he had a leather vest. And when it was time for him to pray, he would just say, "Lord, when you and I are in the garage working, it's awesome. Amen." And I remember thinking one night when I heard him pray, that's the most honest prayer in this whole room. There was no flowery language. There was no this, putting all the right words together. There was no none of that. It was simply from the heart. "God, when you and I hang out together, I just think it's awesome. Amen." I wonder if that's the kind of prayer that Paul prayed. I wonder if Paul was like, "Lord, when I was in Philippi, it was awesome. I love those people. I'm so thankful for them."
You know, Jason, that reminds me of the Pharisee and that tax collector. When Jesus talked about the tax collector was heard because he says he beat his breast and mm-hmm. felt unworthy to be there, where the Pharisee had all the right words and wasn't really heard.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, right? Because again, I said, people will think, well, I can only pray if I'm in a certain place, or if I have incense burning, or if I have the prayer book open, or if I use certain words. And Paul didn't need any of that in order to pray, did he? Paul just needed to remember his friends, to be thankful for his friends. And Paul always prays for the Philippians in all his prayers that he prays for them with joy. Why? Because he's able to go to God. He's reminded that God's the one who created these people. It deepens his relationship with God. He prays with joy for his friends, and Paul has great joy talking to God about his friends.
Camp out there a little longer, too, because I think that joy, we're heading into the season of great joy because of the Lord's return or the celebration of his birth, but that joy I think is so important, because we can have the joy because we know the great giver of all good gifts, God. Mm-hmm. And so that could motivate us to be joyful because God will answer. You know, I know it could be the yes, no, wait, but I think we can have that joyful heart because, like you said, we get to talk to God, so that's wonderful, but that he will answer.
Yeah. And I also think that Paul is remembering all of the great experiences he had with the people in Philippi. He's remembering his time there by the river when he was going to look for 10 men who could start a church in Philippi, and he runs across Lydia and he's invited to her house, and then he meets the jailer. I mean, this story that just unfolds in Philippi as that church is started and what God did there. And I think it brings Paul great joy. He remembers all the time that they were together. You know, I remember when Mark, you and I, we went down to Alpharetta, Georgia, to go down to visit a ministry center down there. And I don't know, it was a 7-hour drive, and it took us 19 hours to get there because we hit every bit of traffic that could possibly come.
And accidents and rain.
Yeah,
and
when we finally got to the hotel, I think we got to sleep for just a couple of hours, yeah. And all of a sudden we had to get up to be at this thing. And it actually came up in my... came up recently because there was a picture that I took. We were eating lunch in a Mexican restaurant, and Mark turns to the side, and there's this picture of this woman with her big naked rear end.
Oh, jeez.
and the look on Mark's eyes as he's looking up there at this big naked rear end, which is right behind him and his tacos. When I saw that picture, it brought me great joy because of the adventure that we went on with Jesus following him. And I think that's the same thing that Paul is experiencing here. Paul is thankful because Paul's belief is, I never would have met the Philippians if it wasn't for God. I never would have gone there if it wasn't for God. I was following his leading. I was following his way. In fact, right before that in the Bible, it says that he wanted to go to Asia and he wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit kept him from going there. And so Paul had a plan, but God had a different plan. And that plan brought him to Philippi and brought him to meet the Philippians. And so I think that Paul thinks that every single bit of this, the relationship that he shares with them, is from God. Do you think that about your friends? Do you thank God that he orchestrated bringing them into your life? That apart from him, you wouldn't have these friendships and these relationships. When we talk about getting together for Thanksgiving, these people that you're going to get together with, you wouldn't have them if it wasn't apart from God's work. That God has knit together and brought together this community that you have the opportunity to be thankful for. And we even see that as Paul goes on, right? Because he says, because of your partnership or participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And the word participation in the gospel means actively and intentionally moving towards and moving with the gospel. Paul has great joy for the Philippians because they participated in life together, but not just life. They participated in gospel life. They participated in following Jesus together. And that brings Paul great joy. Paul says, essentially, I think what Paul is saying is here, he's saying, every time I pray to God, I just thank him so much that I get to follow Jesus with you. That we're on this adventure of following Jesus together. That we get to participate in this together. And that all of it is from him. I wonder, are you thankful for those things? Do you look around the church on a Sunday morning and go, that person's sitting in my chair? Or do you say, I'm so thankful for all these people, all these friends who have gathered together to follow Jesus together? Because that's what Paul is saying. In fact, to go back to my original point, Paul says, because of your participation. Paul thinks that everybody in this church deserves a participation medal. Because all of them are following Jesus together. All of them are participating actively and intentionally in the good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And there's nothing that we should be more thankful for, I think. The way that God met us with the gospel, but then the way that God brought us into a community, a gospel community of people who we get to follow Jesus with together. If it sounds like I'm hammering that nail, I am, because I think we're not thankful enough for the people that God has brought into our lives. And the ways and the ways that those people impact us and affect us and shape us and bring us joy and make us laugh and make us angry and frustrated and all the different emotions that come with that. Because all of that is good stuff.
I'm thinking of that joyful heart as we give thanks to the Lord. And earlier today I was reading in John chapter 15, verse 11 says, These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously we can have that fullness of joy, but we can also have that joy by recognizing the value that others have as we give thanks for them.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people listening to this radio program right now in this final minute or so would say, yeah, Jason, that sounds good. You're on the radio and you're saying, and I mean, but come on. No, we're actually living it out here, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're actually living it out here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 friends gathered together here, following Jesus together. We do this every other week together. And so we're actually doing it. Sometimes you think when somebody tells you to do something, you go, are they really doing it? We're doing it. And so I guess today what I just want to say to all of you is I'm thankful for you. Thankful that you carve out this time to be together with me. And so we can be together, I guess, with everyone else, right?
Yeah. It has really turned into kind of our small group on these times that we meet together and have sweet fellowship. It's always open to anyone. Usually, like Jason said, it's every other week. Sometimes we might do two programs, but I call the station and we can tell you when we'll meet next. And we meet at Guitars and Cadillacs at Jim Gunther's studio in Mahomet, Illinois, right off of 150. We appreciate these wonderful accommodations, and we can accommodate, I think we have, what, 16 microphones set up, Jim? Something like that. And so
More reasons to be thankful.
Yeah, more reasons for you to come out and join us, and you'll be valued, and you'll be a part of a unique, special group that meets and declares God's word, as Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet always prepares a message or two for all of us. And we'd love to have you, and we do give thanks to God for you as you're listening today. Maybe you're struggling through not being so thankful because of heartache or suffering or maybe wrongs that you've been unrightly served. But there is a God that loves you, and he says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And he does value you, and you have intrinsic worth because you've been created in his image. So know that you are loved and you are cared for, and we hope that you'll be in a good church this Sunday under the preaching of somebody that's dividing God's word so that you can be equipped to go into all your world and share that good news message of Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.